So you'll find that when the pastor is holy, righteous, and a man of prayer and the word, most of his church people have a general greater sense of grace operating for them. It's not that they got no more responsibility. They still got free choice. They still got all those things. But there is a, what I say, it's just like hopping onto a bus and you can move faster than when you're walking. It's just like the speed or the spiritual blessings that are there sort of increase over you. When a leader is unfaithful, the entire church is affected. From the top right to the toe. It's just like a family, but it's in a bigger sense. And we call the church the family of God, family of God. Well, we understand each family unit has its authority, same thing in a church. So understand that there is a level of protection. You may not know it. I know it because I spent a lot of time praying for the church and praying for the church people. And I could sense it the moment there is a general attack on any of the sheep. I'm the one who sends it first, not the sheep. It's just like Satan got to go through you before he can touch the sheep. It's interesting, isn't that amazing? Satan cannot touch any of your elders, your deacons, or your associate pastors who are working with you, as long as you don't open the door. The moment you open the door, you find that the whole thing flows down the line too. That is why in a lot of churches, the pastor or senior pastor could be living in sin. And something is happening among all his associates, all his elders, all his deacons down the line. Because there's no more protection from the top. So understanding that truth, we look at Paul's situation. Paul, when he wrote it, he understand this thing like the back of his hand. So he's saying to the church, I want you to corporately pray together and release this man. That's what he means. Deliver is release this man. And you know how Satan is. He's seeking for opportunity to attack any member of the church or a leader if possible. I mean, this is a spiritual battle, which is why I say to Christians and to Christian leaders, you better walk right, because God is protecting you all the time from the enemy. And if you don't walk right, Satan, who has been after you all this while, and the angels have been harassing him, giving him all the black eyes, what do you think he will do to you the moment he could get his hands on you? I hope there is motivation for some leaders here to walk right. Because if you don't walk right, and the protection is gone, the devil say, aha, you have been casting a lot of demons out of my people I have possessed. You have been doing all kinds of things to me. You have been tearing me down. My throne has fallen down many times. You are the one, huh? So the moment you get into his hands, he really give it to you. That is why Paul understands it and call it delivery to Satan. It's not that Satan is on his side. He understands the principle that anything being protected is just like, you know, a cat that is disturbing a dog, let's say. And the cat comes to the gate and they, yeah, 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 yeah. And the dog jumps and does everything and cannot get at the cat. Every day. One day, the gate got rusty. When the dog finds an opening, what is it going to do with the cat? Now, you may say, I have not done that. Wait a minute. By taking authority over demons, by taking authority over places, by casting out devils, by laying hands on the sick, you're creating havoc in the kingdom of the devil. You are doing the erect thing. You are actually harassing the devil. What will he do when you walk into sin and you become an open door? Now what happened is here. There is a general sense of grace. It is not that the moment you sin, Satan say, aha, got you. God is so merciful. When we sin, it's very painful for God to cover us because it causes Him pain. It's just like when you sin, you were a round watermelon. When you sin, you turn into a durian, pokey. So God still put His hand on you, protect you. God also get hurt, you know, by your pricks. It's very hard to hold you now. But God's mercy is so great, He holds you still. Even though it pierces Him. But there is a level. Grace also is not forever. There will reach a point where you keep sinning and sinning. By that time, from fragrant durian to smelly durian. Then becomes stinky durian. And it really smells, and God is still holding until there is a stage of sin where God will not condone anymore. And He drops you off like hotcake. We are not making it up. You notice here in the book of 1 John, right? I better give scriptures for some of these things, right? I cannot give scriptures for the watermelons or the durians, but I can give scriptures about different levels of sin. And there's a sin that God will not accept anymore. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. It says here in verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. Now, if he's sinning, look at it. If the person is sinning leading to death, the person is going to die, isn't it? Then he says, you shall pray and then God will give him life so that he will not die. In other words, you're delaying the process of him actually going to destruction. Then he says, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. So there is a level, when he reaches a certain level, if it's not removed, praise the Lord. Praise God, this is a good drama going on. There is a level of sin, if it's not removed, it will pollute the body. Tolerance comes to a certain level. See, we are fighting germs all the time in the natural. There's always germs in the air actually. Tuberculosis germs are always there, which is why many the weaker and the malnourished get tuberculosis. It's because their body and their immune system is so weakened that they succumb to it. But the well-nourished and the strong and healthy don't when they're exposed to the same germs. Because their bodies, then their white blood cells could just kill all those germs. So there is a level of what I call tolerance. But when it reaches a certain level, if it's not removed or dealt with, it's going to destroy the entire system. And that's where the scene in chapter 5 has reached. Paul says, deliver to Satan. So that's what he meant by taking it off. Taking the man, praying, and spiritually releasing him out so that he will no more pollute the entire church with his sin. It was Paul's solution for that. And then we look over at chapter 6. Chapter 6. Third problem. The church is fighting one another in the worldly courts. Suing one another in court. Paul was very annoyed with them. In chapter 6 it says in verse 6. But brother goes to law against brother. And that before unbelievers. When Christians sue one another, it's a disgrace to the Lord. We have this scripture, but I can assure you, there are many Christians who are violating this scripture. And this scripture has been even quoted to them. Yet, they want to do it. You know why they want to do it? They are not willing to keep these principles. Paul says here, here is the first principle why you don't do it. He says, In verse 5, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? Number one, there should be somebody in the body of Christ who has the wisdom to mediate your case. You say, but that worldly court has a Christian judge. Yes, but he's not in fellowship with you all, in a sense. And he's not going to use a Christian system, he's going to use a normal secular system. And let me explain this. Even the secular courts would prefer that a lot of cases be settled privately. That would give great harmony to society. I mean, how wonderful if the all society settled the case with each other and we learn not to be enemies and learn to love one another, learn to give and take. That would produce a good breed of people. But it's because people hate one another. People say, oh no, I don't want to talk to you, don't want to talk to each other, let's see each other only in court. It's because of that attitude. And remember, even if you win in court, your heart still loses. Your heart is hurt, your heart is still angry. Besides that, if you win in court, the other person loses badly. In some ways too. It's a win-lose situation. Why not a win-win situation? So here, in verse 6, in chapter 6, it says, brother goes to law against brother. So number one, the solution, he says, find a Christian who can mediate. That's his first solution. He says, is there not one wise among you? Surely there couldn't be one. He says, except sometimes people don't want a Christian solution. Number two, he says here in verse 7, why do you not rather accept wrong and unwillingness to allow our wrongs to just pass? In other words, we are not willing to forgive. Now, we have a very interesting true story. It's one of a member in my church. And he is a writer, and he writes books that are used in schools, in primary schools. And this printer and publisher failed to pay him the royalty for his work. So, he reached a certain point. He had tried his best to get his payments and everything, but the person just delayed, dragged his feet, or does everything and every trick in the trade. In the end, he came to me for counseling, and he says, what shall I do? Do you think I should sue him? He says, I have a case against him. Legally, I have that right. He has signed a contract. He's not kept to his contract. And he says, should I sue him? This was what I said after prayer and asking God's wisdom. I said, number one, are you more concerned about that person's money that he has, that is part of his your money, or than his soul? I said, if you could answer that first question, then we can see how to deal with that problem. Are you more concerned of his soul than his money? He says, why? I say, look at it this way. If you sue and you succeed, next time when the person hears the gospel, will it stop him from accepting Christ because a Christian sued him? Will you have one soul more in hell that cry out of the eternal death because of you? So then, that's the first thing I wanted him to think. Secondly, I said, do you believe that spiritual methods are more powerful than carnal methods? Now, there are not many people who believe that. You know why? Spiritual methods sometimes take longer and slower. So people just don't have the patience. They want to grab their fellow's throat straight away, if they can. So, that's the second question the person had to answer. And thirdly, even if you lose now, that is, you suffer wrong, do you believe that God can repay you? And that it doesn't have to come through Him who had defrauded you. It can come from Him above. It can come from a million, billion other ways that God will supply to you. The exact amount of money that that fellow took off, because it was her meeting, she said, "I said silence." Even that big pastor also, quiet. See, she exercised authority in her meeting. Now, if she came out of her meeting and went into that pastor's church, it's different. He becomes in the sphere of authority. So, in the gift of God, we need to understand what a sphere of authority is. If I am invited into your church and I go to your church to minister, then I will recognize your